Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking sleep training. And for that, I have brought on Morgan Massaro.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
Hi, Morgan. It's so nice to have you here.
Thanks.
Morgan and I met through Compass Creative Dramatics, which they have been on the podcast before, Cassandra and Kathleen, and we met doing a children's show.
It was Peter Pan.
It was Peter Pan.
You played a crocodile and you were wonderful.
Thank you very much. It was one of my favorite roles I've ever played.
You played it well.
Thank you. and then Morgan and I have also run into each other at the park before.
We have. We were hanging out with our kiddos and I looked over and there she was sitting on a park bench.
Yep, because my kids go hard at the park and I just try to stay out of the way.
Mine are still so teeny tiny, we get into the baby swings and then back out. So right. They can't go hard unless I'm with them.
Exactly. Yeah. I miss those days sometimes where they actually want me to play with them. Because now they're like, oh, get away.
Oh, no. That's what I have to look forward to.
Yep. Or they take their scooters and they
did have their scooters that day. Yeah. I was impressed.
They can go really fast on those things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't understand.
And children are so fast already.
They really are. I wear my running shoes most days.
That's smart.
That it's warm weather.
Yep, I'm like, I do too.
We have to.
I can't look nice.
No.
I have to put on tennis shoes and my workout clothes. And yeah.
Workout clothes right now from today. Exactly. So before we get into sleep training, let's hear a little bit about your nanny journey, your background as a nanny.
Oh, wonderful. So I started nannying. I guess there's a transition between babysitting and nannying, and yeah. I actually made that when I moved to Chicago about a year ago. I would babysit when I was, a teenager like we do.
Right.
And then when I got into college, several professors of the departments that I was involved in all had children around the same time and they all needed someone. And I was someone that they knew and a face that they saw every day. And so I would watch their kids.
Someone they trusted.
Yeah, someone they trusted. And I still talk to all those professors. I went home for Christmas and my now 3-year-old kid that I used to watch, she opened the door and she goes, Momo, and she recognized me immediately. It was just lovely. And I came to Chicago after graduating from college and I was like, what do I do with myself? I transferred from a retail job and had it while I was here, but I was just miserable and I'm here to make theater. So I knew I needed something else, and it dawned on me how much I love to work with kids. I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. but I started to look for a nannying job and found the family that I was with pretty quickly. I went through a couple of different interviews and went through that process, but found them, and It's been wonderful ever since.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you actually do a nanny share, correct?
Mm-hmm. I do a nanny share for two different families.
Oh, that's awesome. So we will get into that too with sleep training because that it's two different family cultures that you're tying together with a beautiful bow.
And it was three. I originally had two babies. One of them moved away, and now I have an even younger baby. So the challenge has gotten even bigger.
Yep. You re-upped the challenge.
I did.
With a younger baby. Awesome. Well, yeah. So as we talk about sleep training, we'll definitely talk about that with, because every culture or every family has their own like sleep culture and their own philosophies about sleep. Yes. And we as nannies have to work with that.
Yeah.
And we can make recommendations, but at the end of the day, whatever the parents feel and think is best is what happens. Yep. And that's the way it should be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So before, or let's get into it. What is sleep training?
So sleep training, in a nutshell, I don't have an actual definition for you, but sleep training is finding your habits, your routine to get the child down into a sleep without fighting, without screaming, you know, without it being a task, without it being a chore.
Yeah, and kind of developing the routine of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're like little babies, it's
not so much.
It's just whenever
they
are asleep. Mm-hmm. But as according to one of the articles that I found, it said somewhere between like 4 to 6 months is about when they start developing a routine. And every baby is different.
Correct.
So if you're working with a baby that's 7 months and hasn't found their groove, their sleep groove, then that's okay. Every baby's different. But about 4 to 6 months is usually the sweet spot of when they start kind of falling asleep around the same time. And if this is something that you as a listener are interested in knowing more about or struggling with, the infants episodes with Brittany Vogel, both of those are good reference points to go listen to as well. We just touch on sleep training a little bit, but this will be more in depth. But if you want more information, go listen to those. They're good episodes. But yeah, so sleep training, just getting them into a routine. And yeah, around like 4 to 6 months probably. But then you have to transition to new routines as they get older and outgrow.
It's a consistent adjustment. You never stop adjusting to it.
Yeah.
I would agree that 4 to 6 months is when that starts. So I've been with the original family for since May of 2017.
Okay.
Almost forgot what year it was.
when are we?
Who knows? May of 2017. And when I got the now 1 year old, she was 5 months old. And we were starting to get into that routine, starting to sleep train. We did it pretty quickly after I got there. And my new young man, who I will refer to as Mr. Cheeks because he just has the biggest, he is now 5 months old as of yesterday.
Okay.
So I've had him from 4 months old on, and we've been working about 2 weeks on it now.
Yeah. So as you've been working, what things are you doing to help develop that?
So I've been really fortunate with both of these kids that I have now. We've been working on fading. So fading is the process where you put the child down, you get them set the scene for what nap time, what sleep time will look like. Because once you make that consistent, they're like, oh, I understand this. Me turning on this music means that I'm getting ready for bed, or for a nap. So you start the routine of what sleep means to them, what that looks like for them. So you put the child down and into the crib, and you go and check on them every 5 minutes or whatever interval that you and the family decide on, and you set a time limit. So some families don't want you to go over 20 minutes, and when you go in and check on them, in those intervals, you don't pick them up. You just let them know that you're there. If they do pacifiers, maybe get them a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Brush their hair, pet their backs or their bellies or wherever they are. And then you leave the room again.
Right.
Once you get them calm. And after that, maybe 20-minute mark or whenever everyone agrees on, then you would pick them up and soothe them. And then you would try again.
Yeah. Yeah. I have limited experience with actual babies.
Mm-hmm.
But in my limited experience, that is also what I did, is that kind of fading mm-hmm. away so that they're not left just crying.
Yes.
But also you're not holding them.
Right. Before we got together to do this podcast, I always thought what we did was called crying it out.
Right.
And crying it out actually is just letting them cry until they go to sleep and not yep. intervening. And so I'm glad that that's not what we did personally. Some families will find that that's not best for them. But I'm a big fan of fading in
yes.
my experience. It's been the best that
yeah.
I have seen.
Yeah, it sits the best.
Yes.
With my soul too. Uh-huh.
Yes, that's exactly it. We would be sleep training and we would, you know, check the timer, mm-hmm. check the clock to see has it been 5 minutes yet, and it's been like one, and it would be awful. You'd be like, oh god, I can't believe I have to listen to this for 4 more minutes. It's breaking my heart. But eventually they get better at it and they soothe themselves down, and it teaches independence too, which
it
is
does.
Huge
and self-soothing,
mm-hmm.
which is also huge.
Yes.
And something that I work with my older kids on, mm-hmm. you know, is how do you comfort yourself?
Yep.
In moments, but it starts when you're a baby,
mm-hmm.
is how can you be independent, which we don't want to ask too much of babies because
no.
their whole job is is just growing, and
yes.
too much independence is dangerous. But yeah, I think that giving them the opportunity, those 5 minute intervals of working towards
mm-hmm.
self-soothing. And as you've been doing it, have you found that those intervals get shorter and shorter?
Oh, absolutely. My young man, Mr. Cheeks,
mm-hmm.
we've started maybe 2 weeks ago, and he picked up on it immediately.
Yeah.
And I am blessed to have such wonderful babies. I have mm-hmm. just great kids. But he picked up on it so quick that maybe a couple of days in, he didn't need to be checked on after 5 minutes. He understood. Now, don't get me wrong. Days like today, for example, he's starting to teethe a little bit, and
yeah.
he was getting fussy, and I've had to throw today we threw fading completely out the window. I rocked him to sleep.
Yeah.
I let him sleep in a curled position in a bouncer.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's just what has to happen.
Yeah. And we are recording on January 31st, which was a lunar eclipse, a blood moon.
Oh my god.
And a full moon. So there was a lot going on today.
Is Mercury also in retrograde?
I don't know. But when Morgan got here, we kind of like sat down and just were like, whew. We gotta like shake off the day a little bit before
little
we
bit.
Start recording. So yes, totally understandable. Today was a mm-hmm. doozy.
Yeah, there's always gonna be, with sleep training, it's always evolving.
Right.
So there's always gonna be something that changes the mix. Teething is a huge one. When
yeah.
they're sick, another huge one.
Mm-hmm.
When my 1 year old was 5, 6, 7 months old, sometime this summer, she got very sick. She had a diaper rash, and she just couldn't sleep except for when she was on my chest.
Right.
Which, awesome. Loved it.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, she felt so terrible, but I loved cuddling her. But you made the sacrifice because then you just start back up again whenever they're ready for it.
Yeah. And, I mean, just thinking through that logically, their bodies are just so uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
that, of course, you want to try to offer any sort of comfort
Absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely. As long as you're not changing the schedule, the flow, your routine,
mm-hmm.
as long as you're not making massive changes to that just because,
right.
it's not going to in my experience, be harmful to that training that you've already put in.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I have found that with nap time for older kids, when they transition down to one nap a day, that routine is still extremely important. Mm-hmm. So when you are transitioning from those two naps down to the one nap, which you mentioned that
we're doing that right now. Right now.
Yeah. And it's tricky.
It is tricky. We were discussing before the podcast started, that time to reset.
Yeah.
So my little girl, the 1 year old, she had a nap at 9:15 in the morning and then a nap at 2:15. And now she's kind of got a 10:15 nap that mm-hmm. has just become one. But I'll still put her down at 2:30, 3 o'clock just for a little me time, because it's about that time.
Yeah.
Whether she's tired or not, that she gets a little fussy. She starts to maybe misbehave a little bit. Or, you know, just seem to show that she needs that time. She needs to not be so overly stimulated with the toys and the things that we've been doing, or me.
Right.
Or anyone else. And so I put her down. If she doesn't nap, that's okay. I make it the sleep routine.
Right.
Which has been successful for me because mm-hmm. It relaxes her. Mm-hmm. And she plays with her bears. She loves soft things. So she just rubs up against them and holds them. And maybe half an hour or an hour later, however long she decides she needs.
Yeah.
She'll let me know that she's ready to come out. I've never done it and found that she's not been refreshed.
Yeah, it is. And we were talking before the podcast about really everyone could use some of that time. And there's lots of studies that prove that some like nap time for literally every human is helpful. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so even my little guy that I'm with, he doesn't technically nap anymore, but we still do quiet time. Mm-hmm. And some days he still falls asleep. And so we do the whole routine. And I find that it's a nice time to, like, we read books together. And it's a nice time for he and I to, like, reconnect. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes lunch gets hectic and you're doing a lot.
You don't need to go at 100% all the time. Yeah. We don't as adults.
Right.
I even find that, you know, when she goes down, I can give attention to the other one if he's up.
Yeah.
Or if he is asleep, I can, you know, do other things and, you know, use it for my own benefit as well. So I think it's important for us nannies too.
Yes, I would completely agree with that. So, yes. So let's talk a little bit about, because you do have two different families that you are nannying for, being in a nanny share. So let's talk a little bit about that, of how the sleep routines of both of those families, how you merged them together and how you handle the two different kids who are in really different places.
Well, I will say, firstly, that I have wonderful, wonderful kids. All of my parents are just fantastic. They're all very communicative. And they care about how it works for me as much as how it works for them, because we're all parenting together, really.
Right, yeah.
And this is technically my first nanny job.
Mm-hmm.
You could consider anything else before maybe nannying, but more likely babysitting.
Yeah.
Kind
of on the spectrum.
Yeah, the 3-year-old I mentioned earlier was on the cusp of nannying and babysitting.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was babysitting. So they're all new parents as well. These are their first children for both families. And then, you know, this is my first real, you know, nannying position.
Yeah.
So we're all in it together. We're all, you know, a team. It takes a village, and that village is us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're great about letting me know what they want, but also letting me talk to them about, well, what if we did this? How would this work if, you know, I did it this way? Would you be interested in that? So we've got a really, really good communication system, which
is
just
wonderful.
Fantastic. Yes. I really lucked out. I love my family. So as far as handling two different families, Again, because they're all so open and it's so new. So the one family, the mother really takes charge and she lets me know, okay, this is what we need for the one-year-old. This is what we're going to try next. Mm-hmm. But she's really open to how I feel about it. But it's clear that that's what will be done.
Right.
But that if I'll give you an example. So right now, I'm working on a particular type of sippy cup. It's the sippy cups you normally see.
Yeah.
But she loves atypical mouthpieces.
Okay.
So she stuck with the infant pacifier. She still uses them. Mm-hmm. She was like the 1% that wasn't going to. So she fell in that 1% of kids who don't move on to the next stage of pacifier. And then certain bottle tops, certain mm-hmm. nipple types, she just doesn't care for. So I'm working on that one, and the mom recognizes that we're going to try it, but, you know, it just might not work. And she'll trust me to make that evaluation and to say so.
Great. That was a great example.
Thank you.
Well done.
We're doing it right now. Yep. So it was really on the front burner. So with that family with sleep training, it felt very fresh to me. Now I feel like a veteran of sleep, the fading method anyway. But she explained to me what she would like to have done, and we worked on it together and we tried it. And, you know, we've had to troubleshoot like you do when they get sick and things like that. But they let me know that that's what they wanted to do. And so several months pass, at least six, before I get my new young man, my bright, shining Mr. Cheeks. And again, a new parents,
mm-hmm.
and they're excited about the fact that I just went through this with someone else.
Right.
So they trust that I know what works, at least have in my experience. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but so far in my experience, fading has worked out really well,
mm-hmm.
Give or take some days.
Yeah.
And so I would explain things to them, and with them, it's like, they obviously tell me what they want.
Right.
And it's the same situation. They obviously have the final say and they start with what they want. But they also like that I've done this before and have suggestions. So I brought up sleep training and fading the first time to them. And then I said, this is what I did for the one-year-old. Let me know if this is what you would like to do. And they were like, this sounds great.
Yeah.
So far, it's been kind of, it's definitely been a two-way street for both families, and I'm really fortunate with that.
Yes, that is. So let's say that you are putting one of your two kids down for nap time, mm-hmm. and the other one has a diaper rash and is sick, and so something's different with the other one. How do you handle that, where one of the routines is knocked out of whack?
So the apartment is set up in a way that the two rooms that I have these kids sleeping in are kind of on the other side.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes, it's very fortunate. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard because now the one-year-old walks, and sometimes she likes to follow me to go take the other one down, and he's asleep in my arms or something. So it can be tough. So today, for example, he has really not been a fan of the teeth that are coming in. And so he was a little disagreeable today. And so what I did, she was down for a nap. I'd already put her down and I had to rock him to sleep. And I could have taken him out into the apartment, but I kept him in that room because, man, is he small, but he can bellow. He's loud. So I kept him in that room even when we were playing until he was ready to be bounced and cradled to sleep, because that was how it was going to have to happen today. There was no sleep. There was no fading today. So just making sure that each kid is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I try my best to give each kid their routine personally without another kid on my hip.
Yep.
So when I put her down, I make sure that he is you know, playing on his mat with, you know, the mobile going or something like that. And then I go scoop him up and take him into the next room so he won't be too loud. Luckily, in today's scenario, she was already asleep.
Right.
Had she not been, I may have put her in the crib for just a couple of minutes to, with some toys, just so she could have some alone time.
Yeah.
But also so that she can be in a safe place mm-hmm. where I know she'll be okay, so that I can go take care of him and put him down.
Yep. Yeah, that was that answered my question beautifully.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's back up for just a second yeah. because we talked a lot about fading, and I'm realizing that we didn't really cover mm-hmm. Cry it out approach or the no tears approach.
You're correct.
So cry it out is that you are you're letting them cry until they fall asleep. Mm-hmm. You don't go back in.
Nope.
Once you've said goodbye, good night, good nap, you let them cry and cry and cry. So typically these methods suggest putting your baby to bed when he or she is still awake and allowing them short periods of crying, punctuated by comforting, but not actually picking up. So correct. You do go back in.
Yes.
But you never pick them back up.
Not unless I get to that point where it's like, oh, okay. It's been a long time. That you, so maybe I'm just wrong that you're not going to go down for a nap right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, which does happen.
It does happen.
It's always soul crushing.
It is.
You're like, oh, it's just not going to happen, huh? Mm-mm. Cool, cool, cool. But yeah. And so, this is... Ferber is most well known for being a proponent of this method. But then there's also the no tears approach,
yes.
which is immediately going in and comforting. And it's soothing the baby to sleep. So they're falling asleep in your arms most mm-hmm. of the time and then transferring them to the crib.
Correct.
And that one is by nature a lot more hands-on.
Yes, I did have to do that with the 5-month-old when he was 4 months old because mm-hmm. we weren't there yet.
Yeah.
And it does take a lot. It takes more time, especially mm-hmm. when you have another child. I feel like that is an ideal method if you have one.
Right.
And the only one that you need to worry about. So for parents, especially parents that have just one child, some people really prefer it. Yeah. I had a previous infant
mm-hmm.
who just moved away, but they preferred that he be rocked to sleep, and it did get tough sometimes.
Yeah, it really can. But like we were talking about before, anything that you really have to be on the same page mm-hmm. with the parents, because if you're not, then whatever they're doing at night.
Yep.
Or over the weekend. Yeah. Is going to be what that child is used to.
Yep.
So having that really open communication about what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have heard of a nanny before who the parents wanted a more fading approach,
mm-hmm.
but she was really struggling with sleep training and went and talked to them and was like, hey, like when I'm trying fading, like it's day after day after day. And it's just, I end up having to go back in after the 20 minutes or 25. I can't remember what they had set. The dad ended up saying, like, we're not actually doing it. Like, this is what man. He was like, my wife can't do it. and so they talked about it. And he was like, and thank you for bringing this up, because now she can actually see the consequences of of not going with the plan that you all set together. Mm-hmm. And I do understand like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I completely understand where everyone in that story mm-hmm. is coming from.
Oh, absolutely. Rocking a child to sleep in your arms is one of the greatest feelings in the world. But realistically, it can get tough.
Yep. and being honest about mm-hmm. what's actually happening.
Yes, that's is huge.
Super important. So if there are any parents listening, or nannies, because it yeah. could be going the other way where the nanny's like, yeah, we're fading. And then the nanny's like rocking them to sleep. So just with this, as in really everything with childcare, honesty, you gotta be honest.
It's the most fair to the kid because the kid yeah. needs the consistency.
Yeah, and especially a baby can't speak for no. themselves. They will tell you.
Oh yes,
but they can't tell you with words.
Right.
So yeah, just keeping that in mind that it's really important mm-hmm. to be honest about what's happening during the day.
And there's no shame in which one you pick, right. which of the
yeah
I obviously have my preferred method. I don't think it's a secret that I prefer fading, but another family is going to prefer crying out mm-hmm. and others are going to want to rock their kids to sleep, which is a great thing on its own as well. And so none of my opinions are meant to shame
right,
the other
yeah.
methods, but I obviously prefer fading.
Yeah, yeah. But like you said, I think all of the methods have valid scientific mm-hmm. evidence yes. and they are all, it's just whichever one works best.
Yeah. Everyone's different, so.
There's lots of ways to problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are trying one and you're finding that it's not working, going and revisiting with the parents about, like, what are you guys trying? Like, is this working for you? And if it's not, then maybe reevaluating,
right,
and coming up with a different strategy. Mm-hmm. Some things that I have found helpful, and this is, I mostly work with older kids, but like you said, that sleep routine, super, super important. Mm-hmm. And I have found that if I use the exact same music,
mm.
that is really helpful. So finding a playlist on Spotify, there's lots of like sleepy, whatever.
You know, that's funny you say that. I sometimes, if I feel the need for music, I always listen to the same one. So that that obviously translates, but I never connected those dots.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I have found as we're building the routine. Now, there were some of the twins that I nannied for. We would switch back and forth who got to pick the music.
Mm-hmm.
For that day, and since they were twins, they were the exact same age. But we got to wear both of those because they would really just pick the same two things. So it was just like every other day, a different yeah. thing. But yeah, so that took a little longer for it yeah. to work. But yeah, I have found that the using the same music works really well.
Soothing tones. Yeah. We have air purifiers mm-hmm. that create this wonderful hum.
Yes.
And it drowns out the city noise, which is a challenge I didn't anticipate.
Right?
But it's yeah. necessary. So any
one fire truck at the wrong time.
Oh, man.
I'm glad you're saving people. But
right, now it's construction around three different parts of the apartment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. But those air purifiers, it really, and right now space heaters are really yeah. creating a hum. So anything like that. Again, for any parents listening, I love the little like Fisher Price stuffed animals that play a gentle tune.
Yes.
Because you turn that on and they, ours is a little giraffe. It's mm-hmm. Fisher Price. It's a giraffe. It's so cute. And its chest lights up and she used to just stare at that and the light would calm her.
Yeah.
And then the sound is always the same. So having that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they have a teddy bear.
Right.
Or a blankie, you know, mm-hmm. when they're old enough. Those things that it's like, oh, I cuddle this at bedtime. Or, oh, right. I listen to this at bedtime. Having that consistency is just wonderful. We do it too.
Yep. Yep. I have an eye mask that,
ooh,
like,
nice.
It was like in the laundry. And I did not sleep well last night. And I really think that was a big
yeah.
part of why.
I'll do it.
And sound machines.
Oh, yes.
They're like, you can get a cheap one for like $30 on Amazon mm-hmm. and a really nice one for like $50.
Yeah.
And it is worth every penny of
it
that $50.
Really is.
For you as adults, too. So, mm-hmm. nannies who are light sleepers, sound machines, game changer.
They really are.
Yeah. They like just go get one. Because for you, for your nanny kids, for everyone, mm-hmm. a great Christmas gift.
Yes.
We just had it, or a holiday gift, whatever.
Chronicles of Narnia, sponsored by
Sound Machines. I wish that they would sponsor me. Sponsor me, Sound Machines, any brand. But they really do wonders for yes. any sort of downtime, even just quiet mm-hmm. time. Even if your kids are in that, like, I'm not napping consistently, but I have some downtime, some quiet time. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And when they get older, though this is not necessarily like sleep training, but I have found that when they get older, offering them the autonomy to take one toy to bed. Now, you have to be careful about which toy because, like, I have said no to, like, necklaces and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's dangerous. And we talk about why mm-hmm. I'm saying no to that toy. But, or, like, anything sharp. Not that their toys are sharp. But, right, you know, but anything that is dangerous.
The softer things are
yes.
gentler and more soothing.
Yes. And then we pick out some books. We pick out 3 books to read together. Mm-hmm. And then I let them pick out 3 books that they want to quote unquote read, even though they can't necessarily read, but that right. they want to flip through
yeah.
during rest time. And just offering them those little mm-hmm. Bits of autonomy yeah. over their rest time, I have found makes it go better, even if they don't sleep.
That's great.
Yeah. And so you can't do that with a baby, obviously. With a baby, the like more routine, the better. Mm-hmm. But with older kids, I find that those little like changes
yeah.
help keep them interested in
I'll
quiet
definitely
time.
Use that when my 1-year-old gets older, for yeah. sure.
Yeah, it's really great. Awesome. Well, is there anything else?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I think that we did most of it. But if you are sitting at home or driving in your car or listening wherever you're listening and you're like, hey, Martha and Morgan, there's this big thing you forgot. Please write into chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. And I would love to have a correction. I love feedback. So if we did miss a big swath of something, or even a little thing, or something that you've tried for sleep training that worked really well for you, I want to know.
I want to know too.
At some point, I'm gonna have a baby,
right?
I mean, that I nanny. and so I would love to know what worked well for you, or if you have a funny story about sleep training that didn't work in some way, and you want to share it on the podcast, please email into chroniclesofnanny@gmail.com. And I would love to hear it. Or if you have a question, if there's something that we didn't touch on that you were like, wait, but I would love help with this aspect and you didn't talk about it, write in. Morgan and I will research. We'll get back to you.
We certainly will.
Awesome. And we end each episode with a funny or uplifting or inspiring or – no, I said funny. it's been a long day, y'all. We end with a fun story from a kid, and Morgan has brought one.
I do. I do have one. So, again, my 1-year-old, I went home for Christmas to Ohio and came back, and suddenly she was walking. So she wasn't walking aww. When I left. She – was walking when I came back.
Yeah.
And the front door of the apartment is a good ways away from the dining room area of mm-hmm. the apartment. And so that's where I had left my sweet little lady and her father. He was, you know, pretty much sitting against the wall as far as you could go from the door and had her on his lap. And I was leaving, typically at the end of my day, I stand and talk and, you know, let them yeah. know how the day is, but I also clean and do everything. And I was cutting that a little short because I had made plans.
Yeah.
And was getting ready to leave. And so I called my Lyft and I shut the door And I'm in the car for probably 2 minutes, and I get a text from the dad that says, as soon as you shut the door, she hopped down from my lap and ran for you. Aww. And I melted like butter, and I was like, just kidding, plans. I'm turning around. It was so wonderful. And she has started to know that when I put on my coat that I'm getting ready to go, and she puts up her arms. She's like ready for a hug. She wants to say goodbye. And she is just, she's so darling.
Oh, they're both so darling. That is so stinking cute. I love that. Thank you for sharing.
Too. Thank you for letting me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Morgan. This is great.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.